You know, there's some people that they love to learn new information. I read an article just briefly a while ago to myself. It talks about the brain's neuroplasticity. And I'm telling you, it is not good for the health of your brain or your body not to continually learn. Those that learn continually, they're just going to be the healthiest. That's all there is to it. Came across this article from India's Manipal College of Dental Sciences. This is interesting. I find this very, very, very interesting, and I hope you will find it interesting also. And as I read this to you, it won't take me long. Could you please just put yourself in the situation of maybe you can put this information into practice? And I'm just thinking to myself, boy, there's probably no one that doesn't need this information. Everybody would benefit from it. Anyway, here it goes. Comes from, well, I can't find the author. Anyway, here you go. Here it goes. Researchers from India's Manipal College of Dental Sciences conducted a clinical study to determine whether traditional gum massage with natural oils increased dental health. Do you know of anybody that has too healthy, are their gums too healthy? Do they have too fabulous teeth? That's TOO, not TWO. All of the patients were instructed to massage their gums for 10 minutes per day. All they did was use their index finger, rubbing each side of the gums within the mouth equally. Doing so disperses the oil with its antibacterial agents throughout the gums and gum margins. It also stimulates circulation within the gum tissue. For 4 weeks, each group massaged their gums using olive oil, coconut oil, or sesame seed oil. And the control group, they used chlorhexidine, or is that chlorhexidine gel, which is a commonly prescribed antiseptic mouth rinse in dentistry. So there you have it. I mean, what could possibly be superior to a prescribed dental antiseptic mouthwash or mouth rinse? After the 4 weeks, the researchers found that Streptococcus mutans, now this is the bacteria that's pretty famous for causing cavities, holes in your teeth, bleeding gums, chronic dental infections, gingivitis. So after the 4 weeks, the researchers found that Streptococcus mutans bacteria counts were significantly reduced among all the groups. But here's the breakdown right here. The sesame seed oil groups counts were reduced from 5.47 to 3.06. So that's a pretty significant drop in the occurrence of Streptococcus in the gums. That's a 2.41 reduction. The olive oil group, or the olive oil gum massage group, experienced a 2.21 reduction in Streptococcus mutans, while the coconut oil gum massage group had a 2.06 reduction. The chlorhexidine, a gel massage, that's the prescription antiseptic that dentists prescribe, they had an average of 1.76. I don't know about you, but all the natural oils that God has made for us, well, they're superior to the prescription mouth rinse. Isn't that interesting? It says the reductions in plaque scores, which is the measuring of plaque on the tooth surfaces and the gum margins, were slightly better among the three oil groups, with the coconut group being the best. Isn't that interesting? So when it came to reducing bacteria, they all did a good job. Sesame seed oil, coconut oil, olive oil. And the good news is, all those are relatively easy to come by. If you live anywhere remotely close to a grocery store, then today you can probably find coconut oil. You can probably find olive oil, easiest of the three, and then you could probably also find sesame seed oil. Isn't it interesting that all those worked better than the prescription drug, the chlorhexidine gel massage group? I mean, by far. Really, really impressive, if you ask me. And I think this is also impressive also. Those that use the coconut oil, well, they had the least amount of plaque. If you were to look inside of your mouth, you might need a mirror, small mirror. You might need a flashlight or just natural light. Tell me if you have plaque building up around your teeth, the kind that you know the dentist needs to take a scaler and scrape away. Well, coconut oil did the best. I mean, I just love information like this. You know, health really begins in the mouth. I can't tell you how many people I've seen just a complete rejuvenating transformation when they had the infected tooth removed. Just phenomenal. I remember the research from Dr. Melvin Page back in the 1940s. To me, it's just so fascinating. These tremendous thinking dentists. Talk about a guy that would just think outside the box. Guys like Dr. Melvin Page, Dr. Royal Lee, Dr. Weston A. Price, all these are just brilliant, brilliant scientists. Just crazy about their research. Yeah, it's all old school. But you know, the truth is the truth, whether it was written about 1938 or 1998 or 2015. It's just most fascinating, their research. But Dr. Page, he would take on patients that everybody else gave up on as either terminal cases or incurable. Have you ever known someone that's been to the Baylor College of Medicine or to the Mayo Clinic or just take any top medical school diagnostic laboratory that's known for excellence, and they reject the patient saying, we can't find anything with our test that's the root cause of your problem. We think your problems are in your head. We can't help you. Well, that's got to be discouraging. But Dr. Page, I think he was quite the compassionate physician. He was a dentist. But he would take on these incurable cases. I don't know if he's just, you know, if we're all wired the same way. There are some people, they don't really like challenges of any kind. They want everything to be so smooth, without a vent, and I hate to break it to you, but life just doesn't work that way. We're all going to have events happen to us that we just soon not have. There's going to be occasional stress. There's going to be events come up that you're going, great, this is not the right time for this. It couldn't happen at a worse time. So we're going to have stressful events, but Dr. Page, he didn't seem to be the type of man that would back down from challenging cases. And so the cases that every other type of physician gave up on, he seemed to encourage. And the guy was a bulldog as far as a diagnostician. He just would not let go. But you know one thing he was famous for? Even some of these terminal cases, and of course what comes to my mind is the cases of rheumatism or rheumatoid arthritis that no one else could seem to help the patient with. Well, Dr. Page, and this is probably too much detail, but I'll just go into it a little bit. No, I'll make it simple. He could quite often trace backwards the severe rheumatoid arthritis or rheumatism or arthritis to an infected tooth. And I know that's an oversimplification, but just cut me some slack here. And so even though he would trace backwards every problem this patient had with severe degenerative arthritis was traced back to or attributable to a chronically infected tooth. So I was just talking about how these natural oils that God has made for us are actually superior to the antiseptic prescription drugs. Superior in every way. It's probably a whole lot cheaper too, and it doesn't require a prescription. I'm just curious how many dentists are proclaiming from the top of a mountain this information. Heard the news cover this yet? No. Well, I'm going to cover it because I like this stuff. And I'm kind of giggling inside of my body right now, thinking there's probably going to be a whole bunch of people that hear this information and say, you know what, I can do that. You know, what if there's somebody listening this morning that says, you know what, I know that my teeth are not in great shape, and I know I really need to go to the dentist. And, of course, I'm in a very unique situation. I get to hear people's stories all day long. And I get to deal with a lot of frustration, and I think it's really positive for the most part. But I just wonder how many people that are just very, very poor, that don't have the money to go to a dentist, might benefit from this information. Well, that just really excites me. I'm very motivated by stuff like that. But Dr. Melvin Page, he would take on cases of severe rheumatoid arthritis or severe rheumatism or severe arthritis that everyone else had given up on, except he wouldn't give up on them. And quite often, he would trace it back to a very, very bad tooth. And this part I might be making up, so cut me some slack here. If he found that the patient had previously had a root canal 20 years earlier, and it was only after the root canal, that was our timeline that we were working with, or he was working with, and he could determine that the patient, their problems with severe degenerative arthritis, they only came on the scene after the root canal was performed. Or, another way of saying it is, their health went downhill after the root canal. So, with using his bulldog examination techniques, that's just a made-up term. You know, that there's no such thing. That just means he was tenacious. He was very, very persistent at trying to trace back where the focus came from. Focus meaning, where does this patient's severe symptoms originate from? If he traced it back to an old, infected, dead tooth or a root canal tooth, what he would do in his experiments is he would remove the tooth, and then he would see if the patient's symptoms began to abate and disappear and go away. And when they would, he would note that. Then he took the experiment just a little bit further. Very fascinating. Now, I'm not trying to offend people by saying these things, because, you know, in the real world, animals don't have souls, and I'm not into animal cruelty. I don't believe in torturing animals. I mean, the other day there was a cat that had been run over by a truck in the front of his house, in our house, and I could tell the cat was suffering. But I promise you, there is no way on God's green earth that this cat was going to be able to survive that type of traumatic injury. But I felt badly for it, so I tried to end the cat's sufferings or suffering as quickly as I could. You already know what I'm referring to, but I felt like it was the best decision given the circumstances, and I didn't let the children see, but I very, very humanely and quickly put the cat out of its misery because I didn't want it to suffer. I just hate stuff like that. But what Dr. Page would do is when he would remove the old root canal from the person's mouth that was just covered up with severe infection, he would take and make a surgical incision on the back side of a rabbit's fur, and he would just insert the, meaning a small incision enough to get the tooth into it. So he'd take the human tooth that was infected, and he would just insert it surgically under the back of a rabbit and sew it back up. Well, lo and behold, guess what happened to the rabbit? The rabbit would develop severe rheumatism, or rheumatoid arthritis, or severe arthritis. And they did these experiments over and over and over again. So is that actually possible, that you could transfer a disease from one mammal to another? Well, in these interesting experiments that took place, now I'm not trying to make a joke out of this, folks, but what if there was a human being that had just horrible, horrible sinus infections that would never ever go away, and they tried endless amounts or endless courses of antibiotics prescribed by their physicians, and they were willing to try almost every procedure that the doctors could throw at them, all to no avail? Well, if it was all due to an chronically infected toxic tooth, I mean, you got to use your imagination here, folks. If a tooth is just exploding with toxins from a chronic infection, but the sinuses are where all that's going to, and they have a chronic infection that never goes away. Well, my word, what do you do if the tooth is extracted by a cutting-edge dentist that finds that it can't be saved and it can't be repaired and we just need to remove it? Well, what if the person's sinus infections, their chronic sinus infections, clear up and go away? Well, Dr. Page would take that very tooth and he would say, let me try this. I'm going to surgically insert this tooth just under the skin of a rabbit, and I want to see what happens to the rabbit. Well, if the rabbit starts developing these horrible sinus infections, I mean, don't you start to think that maybe there's something to this? So, it's your choice. I'm not going to force you against your will, but I sure want to give you information. And I don't want you to be destroyed from a lack of knowledge. Don't you think it's pretty fun to think about radiant health and rejuvenation and healing and repair? You know how many people are just languishing right now with poor health because they just don't know what to do? Yes, it's true. There's some that just won't listen. I mean, I try all, believe me, if there's anybody else that's done more cold calls on people in the public than me, I need to know who that is, because I've just had failure after failure after failure of walking up to a person on the street and saying, hey, did you know that your legs are bowed here and that you have rickets and that's a vitamin D deficiency? Because you're a child, if you'll just take some supplemental vitamin D and you'll expose your flesh to sunlight and you'll look at these foods right here and you'll avoid these foods over here, that could all reverse and you could have straight legs? Oh, mind your own business, Dr. Morgan. You don't know what you're talking about. I've been rejected a number of times. The good one was, the one that I just nearly had the woman pop me in the chops is when I walked up to her and said, you know, you probably shouldn't be putting Dr. Pepper in the baby's bottle and giving it to them because it's going to make their head get big. Yeah, that probably wasn't my finest moment. Anyway, well, if you're listening right now, you got nothing to lose. Let's just say that you have gone to the dentist over and over again. You keep getting the same report. They say that you have periodontal disease, or you have gum disease, or you have excessive plaque buildup, and you're not the normal patient. They have to bring you in every month to scrape your teeth because your gums are bleeding, and you have this foul-smelling discharge coming from your gums and your teeth. Well, what have you got to lose if you rub olive oil or sesame seed oil or coconut oil? Man, I can't tell you how excited I am about this. It's just great. Talk about low-cost health care. Yeah, I think I would recommend that your fingers are really, really clean before you massage your gums. I have one child that probably puts their fingers in their mouth more than I would like, so I have to. I'm training them, though. Please don't do that. Maybe I should start dipping her fingers in olive oil or coconut oil before and just let her get after it. Anyway, if you want to join me on the radio this morning, there's a phone line officially open at 903-586-5257. And if you want to call and ask me a question or make a comment, I'll just get you right in. I'll push the button straight away. So our number here is 903-586-5257. This program is Health Essentials. I mean, don't you think that's really, really good information? That they had the most plaque-reducing changes that they saw were not with the prescription drug, but with coconut oil. And they had, by far and away, the greatest reduction in bacteria with sesame seed oil. I mean, really, folks, how could you go wrong with either one? Or if you want to be radical, you could do both of them. Both. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. I'm calling about a family member that very serious situation. He's 72, and for many years he was unable to just quit drinking alcoholic beverages, and that probably did the worst thing for his life. And he did finally was able to stop doing that, I don't know, within the last 5 years. And we were just told about a month ago he has stage 4 prostate cancer.
Oh, bless his heart.
Yeah, and the last thing we want to do is to load any guilt on him. I mean, I think he's a believer, and he's down to 100 pounds. He refused to go through surgery, which is what Thurston wanted to do. The doctors wanted to do. He did take some chemo, and he was unable to keep food down. And I think he stopped the chemotherapy. When we sent him a protein powder, his teeth are bad. He's lost a lot of teeth. He doesn't want to really talk about his situation. Doesn't live nearby. But I think if he did, we'd be over there, you know, helping him with daily things. And now he has to have a walker. I mean, he's using a walker, which helps him. And,
so he's
you know, I just don't know where, how to help. He doesn't have a support group. He doesn't have, you know, a lot of people in his life around him to assist him. And I just, you know, I feel like I'm a lot off what to do.
Where does he live?
We live in West Texas. And I've talked to American Cancer Society, and there is a support group, not for that specific ailment, but for cancer. And he doesn't want home health care. He doesn't want people coming into his home. It's difficult. I, you know, don't think he realizes people care for him, and people would, you know, we would help him a lot. But there are some family members that live farther away than we do, which is almost an all-day trip. I want to come visit him at the end of the month, and I'm just hoping that won't be too late. And I hope he doesn't give up and just end it all himself, you know.
I think if it were me, I would probably contact a local church and just explain the situation and say, you know, and let me start over here. I think at the church that I go to, they have a pretty efficient system for helping people that have illnesses, meaning they'll prepare meals for them. Of course, what I thought of, what if we, you know, just rang his doorbell and there was a fresh, hot, you know, broccoli and chicken casserole made with curry just right there on his doorstep, and he could say, you know what? You know, this is cooked, the broccoli's soft, it won't be hard on my teeth, and the chicken is in small pieces, and of course, I'm using guerrilla warfare tactics to trick his prostate in having an anti-cancer effect because, you know, curry is turmeric. But even if something like that, you know, you never know how that may touch him, somebody giving him a meal. You remember what Jesus said, when I was hungry, you fed me not. You know, they always say that a man, what do they say? How's it go? The way to a man's heart is, how do you get there? There you go. So that's the one thing that could probably break down these walls. I mean, seriously, you're not going to make much headway with Mary Kay Cosmetics and flowers. He's just not going to respond to that. But if we gave him some delicious food, I bet you, have you ever heard the old experiments like Pavlov's dog? So when he rings the bell, the dog begins to salivate because he knows food's coming.
Yeah.
Man, we could just literally, and I mean this in a, just this is just a figure of speech, kill him with kindness. If there was a local church there, they could probably have the, you know, churches just would not even function without women. Are you kidding? If it was left to me to make a broccoli and rice curry chicken casserole dish for a shut-in, the person might come close to starving there because I would fumble around for 5 hours trying to put the thing together, whereas my wife could do it in 30 minutes. But I just wonder what would happen if we did something like that to him. If somebody just showed up and said, listen, we're not going to, I know that you don't want visitors. We just want you to know that we love you and that we're praying for you. And we really want to make some food for you because we want you to be comfortable and we want you to be well nourished. Because the truth of the matter is this, with stage 4 prostate cancer, those doctors that told him that they're going to do something with surgery, that's just a complete bald-faced lie. There's not going to be 1 ounce of benefit. It's just going to torture the poor man. I was reading the latest cancer research maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago, and they were saying that, now these are just general, this is all forms of cancer. It's not specific for either breast cancer or prostate or lung or colon or stomach or pancreatic cancer. It's every form of cancer, so you'll have to give me some liberty here. But it was saying, in this tremendous cutting-edge study, that those that take chemotherapy, radiation, and surgery, they live on average 3 years. That's their survival. That's averages now. Those that completely refuse every form of treatment, and they refuse chemotherapy, and they refuse radiation, they refuse surgery, they only live 12 and a half years longer.
Mm.
So, when's the last time you've heard an oncologist say the stats like that? It's just not going to happen. That's not part of their narrative. I wonder if we can... I'm sorry.
And also, you know, all of the things that are in place now, like Obamacare, Medicare, Medicaid, whatever, it's not going to encourage any kind of alternative therapy.
No, and it's not even going to give you the very best options that a person has. They're going to give you the worst options that save the government money.
Right.
Because they're going to say he's 72 years old, that he's not worth it.
Yeah.
But I think that we could probably need to get to him through food and love.
Yeah.
That's about the only thing that I know of, because, you know, what could happen is he could get used to this pretty quick, and if the ladies don't show up with some food, he might start to go, well, what's the deal here? But that may lead him to a friendly conversation, because ultimately, and I'm not trying to be negative by saying this, but in eternity, I mean, what's he going to say in eternity? You know, nobody came and checked on me. Nobody cared about me. I've got a miserable life. Yeah, do I know much about alcohol? No, I don't. But do I have family members that have been alcoholics? Oh, my word, yes. And so I've been on the outside looking in, and I've seen people that have destroyed their lives with alcohol, and I hate that. But I don't know what else to do. Stage 4 prostate cancer, it's already spread to other body parts. I'd love to tell you that there's a wonderful remedy, but right now, I think if we can sort of touch his heart through good, nourishing food that can help his immune system and help his body, and you never know, there may be a reversal. There is spontaneous remissions all the time.
Yeah, that's what I'm feeling. If we live next door, live in the same town, or it was easily convenient, or if it were my brother, or, you know, we had a close relationship, man, you'd be out there in New York a minute and just start, you know, we'd put up grab bars in the bathroom and start cooking things and storing it in little freezer cartons, you know. It would be easy, something good and nutritious without a lot of junk in it and preservatives. And
Or if he was agreeable, you know, you might get him to the point where he says, you know what, there's going to be a potluck supper after services this Sunday. We want you to come and be our guest.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to put pressure on him, but, or if there's food left over, say, listen, I know you couldn't make it, but everybody was praying for you, and we just brought you a plate of food, and, you know, yeah, I know that you don't feel good, so we'll help you out here. Now, that'd be pure love if you ask me.
Yeah.
Are you kidding? If a beautiful woman showed up my front door and laid some food down at the doorstep, rang the doorbell and left, I'd like that. And yeah, the truth is, he may be, do you think he's a little bit cantankerous?
Yeah.
Is he a little ornery?
A little bit, very stubborn, very prideful.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's the first human being that I've ever heard about being that way. But even those walls can be broken down. And the greatest of these is love, and that's probably the best way to approach this.
If necessary, use words. Actions speak louder.
Maybe it's preferable that you not use words, just walk up in a pretty dress and smile and set it down and ring the doorbell and walk off. I don't know.
Very frustrating, because if we were in his situation, I think he would understand. He'd be, you know, compassionate, and he were able to help someone, you know, now that he's not drinking alcohol.
You know what? Years ago, there was a man at church that I probably shouldn't say this because people are going to know who I'm talking about, so I won't mention his name. But this guy wasn't he's bachelor his entire life, but just dirty, dirty, dirty. And I think he got sick one time, and the ladies from church went in his house, and I think it was probably the equivalent in going into the worst haunted house exhibit you could go to, because it was just Roaches were everywhere. Dirt was everywhere. It was just blowing up the house with a nuclear bomb might actually been the better option than trying to clean it. But I just wonder what would happen if you had like four or five ladies say, somebody's going to take you to the doctor, and when he's gone, somebody goes and just cleans the bathroom for him. Just one thing. Just a trial run. I didn't say clean the entire kitchen, because you know how people are when they're stubborn and hard-headed and strong-willed. They like blow a gasket if you try to wash a dirty dish.
Yeah.
I helped a relative move not that long ago, and I moved box after box after box of dirty dishes that had been dirty for 3 years, and it was the grossest thing that I think that I've ever done.
Mm.
I hope they're not listening right now. Did I say relative? Just scratch that. But yeah, I tell you what, you've got a very good plan. I'm just so tickled that you love him and care about him. But we just need somebody, we need boots on the ground that are close, right?
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if there is a local church, even just a very small church, where they have a ministry where they try to take care of people that are sick and infirm. Because, you know, when a woman has a baby, the average woman, I mean, isn't it really nice if somebody provides meals for her and her family for a couple of weeks? Because having a baby is hard work, if you ask me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've never had a baby. Have you had a baby?
No, I have not. I have not had that honor.
Well, I was going to say that, you know, you're better qualified to understand what it's like to be a woman and have a baby than what I would. But anyway.
I had a lot of similar pains when I was younger. I thought, well, having a baby would be nothing if it's like this.
There you go. I'm just curious if we could find a small country church just right there close to him. That would just, and then, you know what the truth is? They would probably love to know about him.
Mm-hmm.
They probably would. But that's the only thing I've ever seen break down barriers is love. And just like you said, your words are 10 times better than mine. Use words if necessary.
Yeah, well, we've sent him some, and I know that dairy products are counterindicated, but it's whey protein with all kinds of green vegetables in it. Because he's down to 100 pounds, and if he's not eating, he's not going to, can't really get out.
You know, the article that I read 2 mornings ago before I came to work, they were saying that now that there's a new study showing that, that oncologists are freaking out over patients with cancer using fish oil.
Mm-hmm.
Because fish oil helps negate the severe toxicity of chemotherapy, and I thought to myself, isn't this something? We've got everything turned around backwards. We're calling bad good and good bad, but right now, the one thing that he needs probably more than anything else, and this is just my opinion, you can take it all with a grain of salt, but I think I understand why you'd want to give him whey protein that has rich nutrients in it, because you're trying to bolster his immune system and give him support, but he's just literally in a catabolic state, and he's just so physically weak, he's just wasting away by the minute.
Mm-hmm.
His body is eating itself.
Mm-hmm.
If I could give him one thing, I think I would choose very strong probiotics and lots of them.
Mm-hmm.
Because we'd probably see a reversal and change in weight, but that could actually change the chemistry of his body for the better.
Okay.
But I sure would like.
Is there any particular type?
Well, there's literally hundreds of brands of probiotics, so I can't go through all of them. But over the years, I think I've used just about each one of them, and I would use ones that probably have the highest concentration of beneficial bacteria, because this can literally change how his immune system functions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's. I think that I would say that alcohol probably more closely resembles how your body processes sugar than it does fat or protein. Because alcohol is not really sugar, and it's not really fat, and it's not really protein. It's kind of a very unique substance. But to make a long story short, I think you can just terribly alter the body and have severe nutrient deficiencies, and your body can just be in very poor health just as a consequence of consuming lots of alcohol. I don't need to go into that probably.
Oh, undoubtedly.
But to counter that, I might think of, you know, the word probiotic means for life. But if you don't know what that means living forms of beneficial microbes or bacteria that make almost all the vitamins that he needs. They actually help digest the food, but they make compounds to help your immune system be very, very healthy and be very superior and robust.
But you wouldn't recommend yogurt, would you?
Well, the problem with yogurt is it's just not going to have enough. It's going to have some. So if a person's really healthy, well, yogurt's probably a good maintenance plan for them.
Yeah.
But somebody that's in very poor health and they're really struggling, we probably need to give them like a big shot in the arm or a big injection. Maybe if he has a friend that has a dairy farm where he says, can you give me some fast track and just shoot it down his esophagus like they would a cow? That might work.
Mm-hmm.
So we just need some massive, massive probiotics.
In the form of a capsule or
a powder. Usually the ones that are refrigerated are going to be the most potent and the best.
Mm-hmm.
Just an idea, and just getting him, you know, encouraging him to take them, because if he actually starts to feel just a little bit better,
mm-hmm.
you know, hope is a powerful thing, and I don't want to throw it away. So if a person starts to have hope, but if he's 100 pounds, oh me, I don't know what that looks like, because he's not 4 foot two, is he?
No, he's more like 5'6" or 5'7".
But 100 pounds, he's just like skinny as a rail, isn't he?
Yeah.
Oh, bless his heart.
We haven't seen him.
Well, you can use your imagination. Just think somebody in a concentration camp being rescued by United States forces at the end of World War II from, you know, Germany and Poland.
Well, we used to watch that Walter Cronkite show when I was a child, and I will never forget pictures of corpses. I mean, they look like corpses. Some were walking and some were being piled into holes, you know.
I don't think I've told you this before, but my wife's grandfather, his last name is Chris, and he passed away a couple years ago, but he was like 96 years old. But you know what his job was as a lieutenant in the United States Army? When he went over to Germany, it was his job to take the German population, you know, just the normal citizens, not the military,
mm-hmm.
because there was propaganda that there was no such thing as a concentration camp or a death camp.
Mm-hmm.
And the German military was just benevolent and kind, and they would never starve people to death. So his job was to force people at gunpoint
mm-hmm.
to get on the bus and go to Auschwitz and take a look at it for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Because they drank the Kool-Aid and they believed the propaganda, but they were forced to see the mounds. Anyway, that's enough of that information. Sorry.
Now, we had a friend that passed away. That he did that in Czechoslovakia when they liberated the concentration camp. Yeah.
Did that? So they made the people go look and see what atrocities were really. Yeah.
They went to town and made the people go out and force them to view it.
I don't know. See, it just boggles my mind when you have an entire group of people or one religion that says the Holocaust never happened.
It never happened, right.
Yeah, and they really, really want to believe that.
And you can trust someone like that.
Yeah, and that's a good person to make a nuclear arms deal with. You can really count on them being honest.
Really?
Anyway,
well, thank you for your suggestion.
You're welcome. Thank you. I hope it works out good for him, and I'm really rooting for your... Did you say it's your uncle?
No, it's a relative of my husband.
A relative? Okay. All right. Good
deal. We're not giving up.
Oh, good deal. Well, thanks a whole bunch.
Well, thank you.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
Oh, God bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Boy, you sure do have a big job in front of you, and I pray the Lord will give you strength. And you never know. You may have some inspiration on exactly what to do about the situation where you can just touch him and let him know that he's loved. Good morning, and welcome to the program.
Hi, Dr. Morgan. My husband has been having some issues, and he finally went to see a doctor, and he's not feeling like he's getting any better. So I just wanted to get your thoughts on it.
Well, I have two questions. How old is he?
He is 49.
Okay. Is he worth saving?
Most of the time.
Okay, ma'am, I'm not trying to make a joke, but you're being quite comical in your husband's infirmity. I don't appreciate that. All right, well, tell me what's going on here.
Well, he for years, usually at night, he will, and maybe 3 to 6 months apart, he will have these like shaking episodes where he wakes up at night, shivering, and he has a, what they call rigors, I guess, with shaking. And he'll get a fever sometimes, but he'll be cold. And so, you know, he'll want to cover up and all this. And so we thought when it first started happening, it was panic attacks. Well, finally, it happened more during the day one time recently in the past, like a few months ago. And so he went to the doctor, and so the doctor was able to observe it. And that doctor, it was just one of those, you know, walk-in clinics. And that doctor thought it had to do with his digestive system because he has reflux. And,
oh, interesting.
Yes. Well, and then he had one about a couple weeks ago, and he was afterwards, he was sick for, in the night, he was sick for 2 hours, from 4 to 6 a.m., and finally at 6 a.m. he had to get up and get ready to go to work, and he felt a little better. But as he was walking around, his legs, his legs got this tremendous pain in them, and he couldn't even stand up, and he had to lay down. And so that day he decided he'd go to the doctor again, and I told him I was going with him because, you know, how that, he didn't want me to go with him, but I needed to. So the doctor poked around on him, and he, you know, he decided he might have diverticulitis.
You know what? I don't know how you knew this stuff, but I saw a woman yesterday that told me exactly everything that you're telling me right now.
You're kidding me.
No, this can't be just a coincidence. I mean, you know, she wasn't a man that was 49.
Yes.
And she probably wasn't ultra handsome like your husband is and macho, but, okay, she's a little bit older. But just everything that came out of her mouth is like what you're telling me now.
Wow.
Well, you probably don't want me to tell you what I found, but anyway, go ahead.
Well, I mean, he put him on a couple of antibiotics, and he doesn't seem to be getting better. And the antibiotics are, you know, pretty scary.
Well, yeah.
You're
right about that. They're real scary. Anyway, let me say it this way.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, this is the radio. You can't expect me to be a perfect diagnostician for the
right,
radio.
Right.
But I tell you what, any time that I have a man that has, you know, chills, mm-hmm. like they're breaking a fever, I mean, all right, let's just kind of break it down here. If this was because everyone in the house had had a light touch of the flu, you'd say, oh, that's par for the course. That's what the body does when it has an infection. That's how your immune system deals with it.
Mm-hmm.
You're shaking. You have the rigors. You have night sweats. You have chills. You can't get warm. And all those are going to be due to the fluctuations of your body temperature over a certain time frame throughout the night.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm not against what your doctor's telling him.
Mm-hmm.
But the doctor says diverticulitis. Well, sure, that's all legitimate. Because that can be a pocket of continual low-grade infection that never goes away. Now, this woman that I saw yesterday,
mm-hmm.
I'm just going to make it, oh, I'm going to oversimplify it. I went through every possible protocol that I could.
Mm-hmm.
And this lady told me that every physician she's been to has told her, don't come back, we can't find what the problem is. And it's not for a lack of trying, but I found her to be extremely pleasant.
Mm-hmm.
And plus, she laughed at almost all the jokes that I made that I thought were funny.
Right.
And which means she's like super smart in my mind now because she's smart enough to get my sense of humor.
Exactly.
Because there's probably a lot of people that don't, because I never hear anybody laugh when I make jokes except a rare person like you.
Yeah.
Of course, your husband's not listening right now, so he didn't hear that, you know, just sometimes he's worth saving. Other times it's a little bit questionable. But what I found was that she had this continual low-grade fungal infection in the lower part of her colon, and that's all I could find.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to make it sound more glorious, like, now her gallbladder had been removed. She had a colonoscopy, which did prove that she had a diverticuli, but these waxing and waning symptoms that he has,
mm-hmm.
man, I would be really remiss if I didn't cover the topic that he's got some type of a low-grade bug living inside of him. But
mm-hmm.
as you know, or if you don't know, I'll be the first to tell you, antibiotics don't really do much for fungus.
Mm-hmm.
Except they encourage it to, like, send down more roots and grow and become stronger and overtake all the good, friendly flora because you kill all the good stuff off. So, I'm going to suggest to you, if the antibiotics do not work, if he does not make a recovery, there's got to be something that's probably driving continual low-grade inflammation of the digestive tract, because whatever goes on in the digestive tract is going to affect the brain. I just thought to myself, Roy, would you feel like $1 million if you had been like in a massive traumatic health issue from 4 to 6 a.m.? Oh, no, I love those mornings.
Yeah.
Those are just great. I can't wait to get to work because I feel so good and refreshed. Of course not. So at 49 years of age, this is not because he's old, right?
Right.
I mean, your husband's literally, he probably looks like the statue of David by Michelangelo, right?
Well,
chiseled.
He has looked like that in his lifetime.
Ma'am, I don't need you making funny comments about your husband when he's on the edge of death right now. We need to save him.
Right.
Well, let me ask you a question. Would you like it if he returned to the Michelangelo David physique?
Okay. Yes.
I'm sure if he's listening right now, if he hears you say that, he's going to go, you know what? That is the least that I could do for my wife is look like the statue of David.
Right. I'm sure he is. He is listening in the other room. I sent him in there.
Oh, well, I need to be careful what I say then, right? Okay, well, what do you want to do here?
Well,
do you mind if I just take off on my tangent and tell you what
I think? He wants me to tell you, he does take kefir every day. He's trying to do the probiotics. Of course, whenever he's taking the antibiotics and he's taking that on top of it, we don't really know if that's helping. But
yeah, anyway. But that's a lot better plan than doing nothing, isn't it?
Yes, I think so.
I mean, I feel pretty good about him taking probiotics if he's taking antibiotics. Yeah, some of them may die, but so what? I'd rather do something good than do nothing at all. All right, here's my sales pitch for you this morning.
Okay.
And I'm not saying this is all on you, but it can be if you want it to be. I mean, he's probably in the bedroom right now, reclining and relaxing, waiting on his breakfast to be served. Is that correct?
Well, no, he's a morning person, so he's up running around, and I'm still in the bedroom. So.
Well, probably the same way at my house. Anyway, moving right along, just in case my wife's listening. But I'm going to recommend, and one of the things I think of, whether it's a toxic form of a bacteria, or it's, have you ever heard of parasites before?
Yes.
Well, for example, there's a type of a parasite that's probably more common than I would like it to be. It's called Dientamoeba histolytica. Can I just suggest to you that it's probably a parasite, like an amoeba, that one could pick up because the restaurant that you visited has foreign workers there that may not share the same belief system when it comes to hygiene. And so it may not be that big of a deal for them to scratch and touch themselves and not even use toilet paper or wash their hands with soap and water afterwards.
Oh.
And I know that's just about as disgusting, as gross as a person wants to hear, but I can't make this stuff up. It happens all the time.
I agree.
And so, second point, there are some people that are known as carriers. They don't necessarily, they're not necessarily covered up with boils all day long, but boy, they're like a walking, talking breeding ground of staff. And when I say staff, I'm not talking about Aaron's rod that Moses held. That's not what I'm talking about. The wicked bacteria that has an arsenal of germ warfare that could kill just about anybody given the right circumstances. You know, I find it interesting when the Philistines captured the Ark of the Covenant back in, you know, 1 Samuel in the Old Testament. What did they do to try to get rid of the ark? Oh, they sent it back. And they made these seven, well, I guess it's the resemblance of a boil. I've never seen a golden boil, but if archaeologists uncover seven golden mice and seven golden boils as a guilt offering to the Lord saying we're sorry for taking the ark, I want to see what a golden boil looks like. But in the real world, I've seen a lot of boils, and I'm telling you, not one of them has been attractive. I don't ever say, Oh, sir, that knee, that boil on your kneecap, oh, that is so cute and adorable. No!
Mm-hmm.
As a boy, I was in the back room of our grocery store at Lake Ray Hubbard, and I watched my father pull his pants down and bend over while a medical doctor buddy of his, my father took this leather, mm-hmm. and he folded it twice, and he inserted it between the upper jaw and the lower jaw,
mm-hmm.
and he bit down.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched the doctor lance a boil on my father's backside.
Mm.
Is that gentle enough? Good morning. And I listened to my father, and I'm just going to imitate the sound that he made. You probably never heard anything like this, but it was like, oh, you know, because it was painful, but it had to be done.
Mm-hmm.
And so whether your husband has a bacterial infection or a parasite infection or a fungal infection,
mm-hmm.
I'm just suggesting that's what I'm going to go and run with. And so what I want to do is I want to starve them out.
Mm-hmm.
And the way I starve those suckers out is by not giving them sugar.
Mm.
You think he's liking this conversation? He's probably saying Dr. Morgan is the finest physician I've ever heard of, because he's the only one that cares enough about me to tell me the truth.
Yes.
And he's telling me that if I have coffee in the morning, I'm going to put coconut oil in it, which is fat.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to tell you that 13 ounces of sugar is the same as fat, but that will just feed the infection.
Right.
And so if he were to have an omelet for breakfast, which is high in fat, I don't care if you go to the store and buy Applegate Farm sausage or bacon that's raised without antibiotics and steroids and chemicals and doesn't have any preservatives in it, and crumble it up.
Uh-huh.
Fine by me. But give him a high-fat meal, because there's nothing in fat that tends to feed amoebas or protozoas or bacteria. But all those bad bugs are all sugar junkies.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's inconceivable that you can take drugs or nutrients while you're shoveling sugar in so fast, because you just can't get over the stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The stuff gets such a foothold. So if we starve them out, and plus, you know, this is going to sound really strange to you, but I think of fat as being the chief reason why we get rid of chronic inflammation in the body.
Yes.
So we've got butter, we've got coconut oil, we've got margarine.
Mm-hmm.
I tried to trick you. That's just, I threw that out there to see if I could fool you. Margarine's
good
fat.
That's true.
But you know what I read earlier about olive oil, coconut oil, sesame seed oil improving gum health tremendously?
Yes.
Man, we can give them those.
Uh-huh.
And so all those things are going to be easy for me to recommend. If you like ground beef, eat it. But
uh-huh.
don't you dare buy the kind that's 98% fat-free. That's just nuts.
Uh-huh.
I know for a fact that fat is fattening. I did not tell your husband to eat 42 pounds of lard before he goes to work.
Uh-huh.
But if you used a little bit of lard to cook food in, that's fine by me. That's no big deal.
Okay, well, what about, you know, if you eat starches that turn into sugar, will that affect it as
well? It really, really will. So I'm not trying to make a joke about this, but if you had a big plate of spaghetti noodles on your plate,
uh-huh.
I'm not so sure that I wouldn't say that's the exact same as a big bowl of sugar.
Okay. Well, I have two men
trying to... They're banging on the door of the radio station, but I've got the door locked, so I think I'm okay.
Oh, my.
So if y'all don't hear from me again, you know that two guys broke in.
Oh, my.
Anyway, no, they're backing up and walking off now. Sorry, go ahead. There's a police officer in the area. Could you switch?
We've been trying to do some gluten-free, but it's kind of hard to do it completely gluten-free.
Well,
but
the problem with gluten-free that I find is still mm-hmm. going to be a boatload of starches that rapidly converts into sugar in the body.
Okay.
And I'm just thinking, what could an amoeba do with that sort of stuff right there? They could do a whole lot.
Uh-huh. So what would you recommend?
Well, if we go with low-starch vegetables, and low-starch vegetables are going to be things like... squash and zucchini and asparagus and lettuce and greens and cabbage and cauliflower and broccoli and Brussels sprouts and asparagus, stuff like that.
Okay.
String beans, green beans, because if you consume vegetables, you have the advantage of these are very, very nutrient dense,
mm-hmm.
meaning they've got a whole bunch of nutrients in them, but they've got very little amounts of starch. And I'm thinking, you know, this can't be a coincidence. So my wife told me last night that she got this new recipe for cabbage soup, and I'm saying, I want some of that action. And she says, it sounds so good, Roy, I just want to try it. And I'm going, thank the good Lord I married a woman that's willing to make cabbage soup for me.
Yeah.
But I'm crazy about cabbage. But then again, you know, my next point would be,
what?
Cabbage is incredible. If you want to heal the gut or a diverticuli, it's really, really hard not to recommend cabbage, cabbage, cabbage.
Okay. See, he read online that he shouldn't have roughage.
Well, the truth is, if you eat foods that are, and I'm talking about cooked cabbage that's soft.
Okay.
But if he took, say, raw broccoli and swallowed it and chewed it up and ate it, that stuff might cut him up. I would never tell him to take a handful of raw almonds and just crunch them up in his teeth and swallow them. They're like sharp blades of glass in his body.
Okay.
I had a patient one time that had Crohn's disease. And this guy was just a little bit overconfident in his ability to handle foods. And I'm saying, man, you're going to have to work on your diet. You just eat too much. You're asking for it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he goes to this Chinese food restaurant and eats about 3 pounds of raw broccoli. I'm thinking, Clayton, you're nuts. And then, you know, 2 weeks later, he comes out of the hospital because they had to remove like about 3 feet of his colon.
Oh, my.
Anyway, so you don't want to eat raw roughage, but if you cook foods, you kind of soften them and you make it easier for the body to digest them and break them down.
Okay, and then would you recommend the strongest probiotics you would recommend would be
I didn't say the liquid ones. I'm saying the ones that are probably going to be refrigerated, because that usually maintains their potency.
Okay.
Now, I didn't say there's not probiotics that you can't get at room temperature, but most of them that tend to be more agreeable to the human body, they probably need to be refrigerated.
Okay. So, like kefir, is there other?
Well, that's just too mild. There's just not enough in it.
Right.
I mean, I don't want to drag this out where it takes a long time, so usually I'm thinking of something that's in the hundreds of billions per capsule or per small spoonful.
Okay. So I could just go to the health food store and look for something like that.
Yes, or ask them. I mean, I have products that I use all the time that work really, really well for me, but it doesn't do me a lick of good to tell you what they are if you can't find them.
Okay. So you order them from you, is that what you're saying?
No, I order them from a company that provides them to me, but it's a professional company. They only sell to physicians. So
I see.
If I tell you the name of these products, you're going to go, well, that's not right, Dr. Morgan, but you're just going to have to do your own research, and I'm not saying that to be mean to you, but if you go to some store that sells probiotics, say, okay, what's the best that you've got, and then give him big honking doses of them over a period of time and see if his fortunes don't change for the better.
Okay, good. All right. Thank you so much.
I sure hope I've helped you, but, you know, I'm just like you. I would like to see his fortunes change for the better to where he can get back to working out and return to that David-like physique.
Right.
The reason why I mention that is because we've been reading 1 Samuel, and David's, we're getting really heavy in the David chapters.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you very much.
Well, thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.